Coming up on show 866, confirmed deliveries for the Polestar 2. Stick around, I'll give you details. Plus, the Lucid CEO has confirmed an SUV will be on the way. Efficiency ratings have emerged for the Model Y, long-range all-wheel drive, and EV confidence is being targeted by a new used EV scheme. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 13th of August. It's Martin Lee here, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. I just got off the call that we did earlier today with EV Cincy, which is the education program in Cincinnati, raising awareness for EV infrastructure and things like that. It was with Trey Woosty, who was on the call representing his business. They've got a big dealership in Cincinnati, talking about how car dealers are making the move to an EV world. And I was just there, I suppose, to chip in with the occasional semi-intelligent comment, and thoroughly enjoyed it. That's going to be our Saturday special, if not this week, then very soon, so you can hear it as well as those people that were on the call. Okay, first story today, confirmed deliveries of the Polestar 2. I'm picking up on a forum post on the speakev.com forums where I had a link sent to me of a video which is on a YouTube channel called Electric Car and Bike, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, EV. Catchy. However, this person, I hope this is them handing their own Polestar. Otherwise, they've just got very up close and intimate with someone else's car in a car park. I'm hoping it's this person's Polestar 2. It's on Norwegian plates anyway, so I presume this person posting a video on YouTube is Norwegian. And it's a nice video, no commentary, but 10 minutes long of just them shooting around the car. And I hope it is their car. But more than 100 total registrations have been made for the Polestar 2 in Norway so far, which is very cool. Although I thought customer deliveries only began 2 weeks ago at the very end of July, July 31st. So maybe those 100 registrations are Volvo dealers and press cars, review cars, etc., etc. I'm not sure if those 100 in July were actual customer cars, because I think it was the last day of the month that customer deliveries started. But we're starting to see stuff come through on YouTube, which is brilliant. So thank you for everyone who's been sending me Polestar 2 stuff. You know that I'm a really big fan of this car. And I think that the September date is still there for UK right-hand drive versions as well. I believe they're on a boat right now. So for anyway, UK listeners, that have a deposit in, and they're looking forward to getting their Polestar 2 in right-hand drive. You know where I live. I'm in Poole, in Dorset. Swing by. We'll take a drive. I'll just do a ride-along. I'll sit in the passenger seat. You know, I just want to see what this car is like. I'm so excited to see the Polestar 2. Any info, pass it on, and I'll get it to the listeners. But this is looking good. Okay, let's move on and talk Lucid right now in an interview with their CEO and CTO Peter Rawlinson, formerly of Tesla, of course, chief engineer back in the early days of Tesla. And I've seen a few websites today, a few motoring websites lead with this story about having done a very, very long interview. So I wonder whether this was an hour-long press call that a few press were dialed into on a conference call and got to ask their questions, or maybe he genuinely has gone around the various big car websites today and spent an hour with each of them. But this particular one from Green Car Reports says that it was an hour-long interview last week they had with Peter Rawlinson of Lucid, who was talking about the building being finished in Arizona. It's a Casa Grande in Arizona. Pilot program line goes in August, later this month. So we've got the second half of the month just around the corner. They're going to be making what they call Beta 2 cars, and that's ready for a spring delivery of the new Lucid Air, which we heard only recently on the podcast. It's going to have a 517-mile range on the EPA estimate, which is amazing, even if it was anything around 500. That is incredible. They've been talking about how they've gone for a 900 plus volt architecture and the advantages of that, and how they decided to go their own way with autonomy. Now, they were working with Mobileye back in the day as well. However, they decided to go their own way with their own, they call it a backbone. I suppose that's like a, that must be like a computer server term. But anyway, their own hardware, their own backbone, and the battery cells they've been talking about as well, they use cells from LG Chem. So look, best in the business. They're up there top of the heap, really. The LG Chem stuff is very, very good. They're using cylindrical cells. I wonder where we see that. Yes, in Tesla as well. You know the latest ones that are used in the Model 3 and the Model Y? We call them the 2170 form factor. They're the ones that are being used in the Lucid Air as well. Now, let's pick out some quotes that Peter said to Green Car Reports. And I quote, "I can confirm that we're doing an SUV on the Air platform, and I'm going to put that into production in early 23. That is the vision, and that is really, really important because we need economies of scale to grow the business." End quote. So there you go. So that platform that the Air is built on will be used for an SUV. No surprise, really, because there's a lot of money in the SUV market. And we know that the platform is obviously, you know, I know that the 517 miles is coming from a low aerodynamic five-door saloon car. However, still, if you can put an SUV on that platform, you are going to lose a little bit of range, maybe a bit of efficiency, or not, as we'll come to later in the podcast, or not in the Tesla's case with the Model Y. But that's the next story. And so they do have a roadmap, which does include an SUV. They were talking about the paint shop they've had to build, and actually looking at their roadmap into the future, going, you know what, if you build a pickup truck, that's going to be longer than the Air or the SUV. And therefore, we had to build a paint shop that was going to be big enough, future-proof, they say, for pickups. So they are looking at a real long-term thing here. And they also did note as well, because I've seen this recently with certain companies like, well, look, the darling of some people at the moment is Nikola, which I must admit, I don't understand. I've run my own sense check across it, and I don't get the loopy-loo online craze that some people have for Nikola. It's interesting what they're talking about, but they don't actually haven't made anything yet. And you know what? They're not going to make anything for a long time because they want to get somebody else to make their EVs for them. But as for Lucid, they won't be making them. Peter Rawlinson said on the subject of making EVs for a company like that, and I quote, "No, absolutely not. Nobody is going to do it. It's pie in the sky. This notion that they're just going to outsource manufacturing? Absurd. I know Lucid's got the best technology. I want to make the best technology benefit to all mankind. Why would I make anyone else's vehicle?" End quote. That's interesting. Of course, there are companies out there that do make other companies' vehicles, companies like Magna in Austria. Austria, Switzerland, they make the Jaguar I-Pace for Jaguar because it's a low-volume, low-run EV, and Jaguar didn't want to do a whole factory in the UK for that car, so they outsourced it to a company like Magna, who are specialists in doing that for other companies. So that, it does exist, but in terms of Lucid, that's definitely not where they see the future of their business. They do want to work where they want to work with companies like Formula E and, well, race series like Formula E, which they think do add value to the company. They can learn from things like that. I'll pop a link in the show notes to this particular interview. Really, really interesting about that. Okay, let's move on, and I'll get into that story that I made reference to just a moment ago. The Tesla Model Y, long range, all-wheel drive, has some efficiency ratings that have emerged online, and Inside EVs just spotted the new efficiency ratings for the Model Y, long range, all-wheel drive, and they are exactly the same as the Model 3. The range of the all-wheel drive long range Model Y is 316 miles, that's 508 kilometers, and the combined efficiency on the EPA test cycle, they call it MPGE, I don't really understand it, but it's a number that seems to be used consistently, so I suppose it's a consistent number, but doesn't mean anything. They'd argue it does. 121 MPGe for the Model Y long-range all-wheel drive. You know what the Model 3 long-range all-wheel drive is? 121. So it's exactly the same for a car on the Model Y, which is bigger and less aerodynamic and heavier and is as efficient. They have made some crazy gains there. And of course, that sits on 21-inch wheels, doesn't it? That's the performance sits on 21s. So there we go. But we have got the figure out for the performance. That's 111 MPGe, so slightly off the all-wheel drive long range. But all of that, you know, I must say, it's all great news. Come on, give me a long-range rear-wheel drive. So, yeah, it gets pretty cold in the winter here, but we're not Canada. We're not those parts of North America that are going to get crazy cold. It's nothing like the Nordic countries. Okay, we get some snow 5 days a year, I reckon, and I don't need a car with all-wheel drive. There's no situations where all-wheel drive is essential. okay, it's a little more safe in some conditions. I don't need that, though. What I really, really want is a great Model Y rear-wheel drive. And it's coming. Obviously, we know it's coming. Show me the efficiency of that, and I reckon it's going to blow everything else away. We'll see when that number comes out. I'll pop a link to Inside EVs in the show notes. September 22nd is going to be Tesla's Battery Day, and there's so many things coming out before the event that I'm not sure what's going to be left as a surprise. Maybe it'll just be the Model S Plaid that we get to see because they finally build one, and that'll just be like a Model S, I suppose, and we'll be told there's three motors underneath it and their own Tesla batteries. Tesla's battery research group, talked about this many times before. His name is Jeff Dahn. He's under contract to Tesla. He has a team in Canada. For years they've been doing, like 4 years or so, they've been doing very cutting-edge battery research. According to Electrek today, they've been focused on improving the current generation of lithium-ion battery cells, but they've also been looking at the possibility of the next-generation battery cells that aren't just incrementally better, but are a breakthrough performance, says Electrek. Well, in a new paper called Diagnosing and Correcting Anode-Free Cell Failure via Electrolyte and Morphological Analysis, and published in the scientific journal Nature, what they've been doing is identifying the problems with longevity and introducing a solution. They found that by inventing a what they call a dual salt electrolyte, there's an inactive matrix in situ of dead lithium that forms large, dense lithium columns inside, forming an ideal lithium morphology. It's starting to sound like I'm just saying words out loud, and I don't really understand what I'm saying. And if you're thinking that, you may well be right. However, this is not technology that's ready to be commercialized, but they do say that they are understanding more and more how a cell deteriorates and finding solutions to that, and that could be, when they're ready to commercialize it, a battery breakthrough. I'll pop a link in the show notes to Electrek if you'd like to read it for yourself and understand it more than I did. So Tesla is developing its own smartwatch. We don't know why, but they are. They have been branching out of the EV business in many years. Storage, solar, grid-level storage, even energy trading. However, a new Norway-based wearable company focusing on smartwatches for kids has filed an application with the FCC for a smartwatch and listed Tesla as being involved with the project. And many aspects of the project are being kept confidential right now. They listed Tesla Motors in the filing, which is interesting because Tesla Motors doesn't actually exist anymore, does it? I mean, many years ago, they were renamed from Tesla Motors to Tesla. Got rid of the motors bit when they became more than just a company selling cars. But we'll see. We'll see why on earth they would be listed by the Norwegian company Explorer. Why on earth Tesla would be doing... It's a smartwatch for kids as well. I mean, maybe there's something here that Tesla can add with their technology, something to do with their... I don't know, I'm trying to think out loud what it could possibly be. Why would Tesla be interested in kids' smartwatches, apart from the fact that, well, you can unlock a car by walking towards it with a smartwatch enabled with the car key, like the mobile phone? Doesn't sound right to me. Bit of a red flag on that one. A little bit suspicious. Okay, moving on. And EV confidence is being targeted by a new approved used car scheme in the UK by Hyundai, aiming to boost consumer confidence in the pre-owned EV market. They're calling it Hyundai Promise. And their new initiative sees approved used electric vehicles bought via their franchise network, subject to what they say stringent safety and condition checks. There will be a 30-day, 1,000-mile exchange agreement and drive-away insurance, according to the website amonline.com. Hyundai's used car promise, they say, includes a minimum 18-month manufacturer warranty for all cars, which are up to 42 months old. They offer 12 months roadside assistance, and they say it's the ultimate, this is their words, ultimate peace of mind and clarity for used car buyers of all powertrains, but particularly electric vehicles. And I can imagine they've been doing their consumer research at Hyundai and Kia, And people saying, look, I'd love to buy a used car, but I've kind of read these horror stories in the newspapers and the mainstream press about batteries only lasting a couple of years and then they've got to be replaced and there's nowhere to charge them and they only go 10 miles down the road and the batteries run out. And so Hyundai saying, look, we're going to have more and more used cars on the market over the next few years, and that's only going to increase as more people buy new EVs. There's only going to be more and more used EVs every single year on the market. Just a fact. And so they're taking advantage of that and putting in those checks, those conditions checks, those 18-month warranties, and even things like the roadside assistance. I mean, I imagine, I can't find the details of roadside, but I imagine it will also include running out of battery, because that's a lot of, even insurance companies here. There's a couple of insurance policies here. I think LV is one of them. If you have your car insurance with them, they also give you breakdown or you can add breakdown to your policy, and that includes running out of battery. I don't know anyone that's run out of battery, and I know a lot of EV drivers, because I also don't know many people that have run out of petrol, because it's the same thing. Okay, I know there's some nuances there, like people turn up to electric chargers and they're not reliable enough and they're broken and they have to call the recovery truck. Ah, tell a lie. I do know one guy who some listeners of the podcast will know as JP. He turned up to a charger and it was behind a locked gate and he had no charge to get to the next one and had to call recovery. Saw it on Twitter probably a couple of years ago now. He got stranded and had to call a lorry. So apart from that, but that's not really running out of battery because he forgot to charge. That's because the charger was behind a locked gate. Okay. All right, moving on. Tesla could soon bundle solar energy storage and EV charging products together, planning on a bundle which could save homeowners cash and make it easy as well for installers of Tesla products. An all-in-one home energy package was revealed in a survey sent to German Tesla customers and picked up by the magazine called PV Magazine, all to do with Tesla's ambitions of becoming a power provider in European markets. We know they've got that license in the UK to sell electricity into the grid. We know they're looking at land in the west of the country. We know they're doing the same in Europe as well. And now, this is interesting, we hear that they might be bundling a whole bunch of stuff that is a car and others. So have the car, have the solar, have the home storage in your garage or wherever you want, your big power wall, have the EV charger as well, and have the car all through one company, maybe even all through one payment. Well, that'd be really, really interesting. And it would be a way of leveraging what they have got as an early lead in the EV market to expand and sell those products, which have probably got, I imagine, higher margins than the cars. And even then, the cars have got pretty good margins. I'll pop a link in the show notes to Electrical Review website. Right, Connected Curb is a company that are doing some really interesting things, and they've just sealed a deal for a 3,000 EV charger installation at, a 130 EV charging installation at a 3,000 home development. The installations are part of this deal in Swindon, a town in the sort of southwest, I would say, certainly of the south of England. There's a new development of 3,000 homes going up, and they're going to put in 130 charge points. The project has contracted Connected Curb to put these in as part of the initial phase of the project. They're going to put in these chargers into parking bays to enable residents of the new homes to get the confidence to make the switch to an EV. To see there's loads of these chargers dotted around the housing estate, and actually if I bought an EV there'd be somewhere that I can charge it, even if these houses haven't got off-road parking or they haven't got their own garages. There's enough of them on the estate that you can normally get close enough to one to charge your car. Really good point. You've got to do that with scale as well. I've long argued for, rather than putting in one or two very expensive high-powered chargers, I'd rather you just put in 20 slower chargers or 40 or 50 three-pin plugs. You know, if I'm going to be somewhere for several hours, let me get some juice. But just put loads in, because that just immediately kills off getting iced, where combustion car drivers park in an EV charging space. When there's one or two spaces next to the door of the shop or the supermarket, they're going to park in those spaces and you get snookered. But you know what? Just kill it with scale. Just as many cheap chargers as you can put in, just put them everywhere. It looks like they're following that methodology in this new housing estate. So a couple of stories to finish off. Grants are being announced to help fund EV fast charging stations in Michigan. The State Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy wants to make sure operators of EVs have enough places to plug in. $1.7 million in EGLE Charge Up grant money for the Michigan program is going to partly fund 36 DC fast charging stations and 76 plug-in points for light utility vehicles along the way as well. Private and public entities can now apply for the grant of up to $70,000 per station to get more chargers into Michigan. And finally, a bus station in North London is going to become a virtual bus station. And maybe for you and I, we talk about this stuff all the time. It doesn't sound like it's particularly mind-blowing, but this article via the London Evening Standard newspaper does come across as it's they're sort of in awe of the idea that electric buses can be used to feed electricity back into the grid when the demand is high, and you can recharge the bus overnight when they're not working. It's a government-funded project. It's called Bus to Grid. It goes online this November, and it'll be used in a trial of the first 28 double-decker electric buses, capable together of returning a megawatt of energy to the grid when it's needed at the most. Thank you for listening today. That's your show. Hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in contact, email me about anything, anytime. You can do that by the email address hello@evnewsdaily.com. And if you want to, leave a comment on the YouTube show where we post the audio. There are 865 previous episodes in the podcast archive. I'd invite you to have a look for anything that interests you. If you're doing your research or looking back anytime, or you miss a show or two, they're all there online. The blog is evnewsdaily.com. And if you miss it anytime, then they're all online. If you hit subscribe in your podcast app on your phone, then you'll never miss one because it will download automatically. So hit that subscribe button. Well, thank you to our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com if you're in the US, and if you're in Hawaii, alohacharge.com. And now Derek Riley. He has his YouTube channel called the EV Review Ireland channel. Have you checked it out yet? Have you hit subscribe on his channel? Why not? Go and do it and learn and be entertained about EVs along the way. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.